Episode 139 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hello, everyone, and before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors, CME Group, Trading Technologies, and Top Step Trader. Now today I spoke with a man who learned the business through the fundamentals. He grew up in rural Indiana, and instead of getting into farming, he decided to help farmers and ranchers hedge their crops and livestock. His name is Craig Van Dyke, and he is the Senior Risk Manager at Top Third Ag. Now today I spoke with Craig to get a perspective that I believe is very important in our industry. Understanding the difference between true hedgers and speculators. Now, I've been a speculator my entire career, and I've really never put too much thought into the true hedgers or producers, because I've been mostly an S&P and bond trader. So today I wanted to dive into the world of commodities with Craig to speak about working with actual hedgers. And I asked Craig about a trade decision and how it's made when he works with a farmer hedging their soybean crop. We discussed how he helps farmers and ranchers manage their risk and manage their emotions. We chatted about how the ag industry has changed over the years and why it's so important for farmers and ranchers to adapt to the ever-changing market conditions. Now, finally, he tells us what trends he is seeing in the ag space. Craig is a really good guy who provides us with fantastic insight into commodity markets. I truly enjoyed speaking with him, and I know you will enjoy hearing from him. As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Craig, welcome to the show.
Anthony, thank you for having me, sir.
It's great to speak with you today. Now, it's summertime in the Midwest, and we're going to talk about ags today. But before we get into that, I want to hear about your backstory. You know, I've been following you for a while on Twitter. Love a lot of the commentary you put out. I actually heard you do a radio interview the other day, too. Really enjoy your commentary on the markets. But I'm curious how you got started in the industry. So walk us through to that moment where you decided to get involved in this crazy futures industry. And then talk to us also a little bit about why you decided to get involved on the ag side.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a sucker for excitement, and ag futures definitely seem to deliver that here. I grew up in northwest Indiana in a small rural town, so I grew up kind of on the farm. Agriculture has kind of, just been a passion since I was young. Basically, what I did here out of high school, I'd worked on the farm and went to Indiana University, got a business degree, and I loved the finance side and the production side. For me, it was a good combo as far as, well, where exactly did I want to fit in the ag space? I knew I wasn't going to immediately go into farming, so I wanted to know how I can get involved. So I spent 4 years at Indiana University. I spent 6 years in the service, and then now I've been with our company, Top Third Ag Marketing, for about 6 years. I've found that it's a really great balance between the production end and the finance end, and then most of all, just to be able to help my neighbor, my friends, family, be able to help them manage one of the most important tasks when it comes to farming, and that's how you get paid. Because if you're not getting paid, you're not farming much longer. So my ag background, kind of growing up in a small town, not too terribly far from Chicago, is kind of what brought me into the ag space here. And it's just been a really great fit to be able to work with, farmer clients, rancher clients from all over the country, to be able to fit in between both the finance and the production end.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. So you started from an area that the fundamentals really mattered. And nowadays, we focus so much more on charting. But you started where the true hedgers are, the real fundamentals, like they're basically the original customers of the exchange.
Correct. The hedger right now, well, and maybe always has been, the minority. But at the end of the day, you know, that's exactly why the exchange was started. You know, price discovery and risk management, that really at the end of the day is the root of these markets. And, you know, as far as ag goes, I think there's a lot of excitement as far as following the fundamentals and that the fundamentals actually matter. You know, when you try to compare it for different, I'll call them different asset classes or types of markets like metals, you know, stock indexes, you know, you're looking at, in my opinion, things I'm definitely not in tune with just exactly what's the fundamental behind that paper, right? But when it comes down to corn and cattle and hogs and beans, you know, there is a physical commodity backing up that contract. So for me, it's maybe it's just a little bit easier for me to comprehend being, you know, from the small town Indiana country boy. But for me, you know, that backing is something that really, in my opinion, helps me to be able to help clients move forward knowing the fundamental side, which is definitely different from a lot of other markets.
Yeah, that's why I think it's so important in this industry to stick with what you know and what you understand. And from you having that background, you really understand it. You know it. It's a part of you. And I think that really helps with your mindset when you're, you know, when you're working with your customers. So you said to me in a different conversation that the bread and butter of what you do is helping identify risk for a producer. And then what is appropriate tool to use in order for them to manage it. So explain to us that.
Correct. So, you know, I'll kind of give a little bit of idea of exactly what it is I do. Essentially, you know, I'm a broker, a risk manager, an analyst, a technician, et cetera. Our goal is to help guys identify risks on the underlying commodity that they actually produce. So we are working with the true hedger. We're working with the guy who raises cattle in Texas. We're working with the guy who raises wheat in Montana. We're working with the guy who grows cotton down in Alabama. So what we're looking for, you know, in the markets is, you know, it's not terribly complex when it comes to exactly what we have to do. What gets complex is when do you execute and how do you execute? So when we have, you know, a producer kind of, just to bring everything up to speed, hey, what are you producing? Where are your break-evens at? Where can I protect today? And if I can't, what are we going to do moving forward? A lot of what we do at Top Third Ag Marketing is with options. We utilize options to help guys take advantage of opportunities. Being that, you know, you can buy a floor under a price or at a price to protect the actual physical commodity, our goal is to try to put that floor in place, and which sounds very odd from a normal trader, we would love to see that put go worthless. Reason being is that the producer has the other side of the trade. You know, and when I talk to a lot of old timers, I talk to a lot of, you know, traders, you know, a number of them say, man, if I had the other side of the trade, I'd be an awesome trader, right? Because you have both sides of the trade. So that's why we deal a lot in options, because it helps a guy manage emotion. It helps a guy, you know, stay viable, stay sustainable, stay profitable, which is the top goal, to stay profitable and help them make, you know, sound financial marketing decisions when it comes to marketing their product. So that's, you know, essentially that is the bread and butter, is my job to help guys identify risk, give recommendations on how to manage that risk, and then moving forward, helping manage that position as a market moves, helping manage the physical side as the market moves, and then staying in communication with the producer, because things change. And when things change, something might have to change on our end. So the bread and butter is to help a guy understand where their risk is at or where it will potentially be. And we've kind of set our own guidelines for, based on, you know, what we've seen. You know, we've got a lot of trading experience in this office. There's a lot of good minds, a lot of guys that have been involved in the ag trade here in our office. So it's really exciting to kind of bring that all together and then help apply that to an actual producer's operation and therefore business.
Yeah, we're going to dig into a little bit deeper as to what your day-to-day roles are. And I just want to say that it's such a unique perspective thinking about it as a trader, knowing that another trader that you could be trading with actually has an opposite side? I mean, I think as traders, we're always just focused on what we're looking at, what we're trading, and we never think about really, I mean, I guess we kind of do think about who the other person we're trading with, but in your markets, knowing that the other person you could be trading with actually has the physical opposite side of that, it's just such a good perspective to hear and really for us to really think about that when we're trading these products, because hey, that's who you're trading with. You're trading with somebody who has a completely different interest and reason to do that, to be in that trade. So I really enjoyed hearing that. Yeah. Now, we talk about managing emotions a lot in this business. Let's face it. I mean, I'm working on it right now. We're doing that Vision Pursue Challenge. I feel like I've been working on managing my emotions in this business since day one, and it's a constant challenge, and you hope to get better all the time because it's just, like I said, it's a constant work in progress. Now, you have to not only deal with keeping your emotions in check, you get guys calling you on the phone. I mean, you're dealing with, right, like we talked about, you're dealing with the farmers and the ranchers, and this is their livelihood. And they're getting on the line with you, and they're talking about things that they have to get done. And there's probably a lot of emotion involved with their decision making. So talk to us about dealing with those true hedgers and what it's like working with them and some of the decisions that they are going through when they're looking at a trade.
Right. Well, you know, managing emotion is, you know, probably one of the top subjects when it comes to trading in general. Now, when you throw it in, you know, so there's emotion no matter what you're trading, but when you throw it into, you know, a family farm operation, there's a heck of a lot more pressure. You know, when you're a fourth generation farmer and prices head down to levels that you can't sustain and you have to sell the farm, that's a very, very big, dangerous feeling that we don't want to see anybody go through. Nobody does. You know, so that emotion is, I mean, the pressure that producers feel, because if they do have to sell the farm, I mean, it's, you know, it's a letdown to dad. It's a letdown to grandpa. It's a letdown to great grandpa who's worked so hard to build this. And because of markets now, you know, guys have to find something different to do. And so when you add that stress to trying to be an effective risk manager and an effective trader, it just compounds the issue. And then at the same token, I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on myself. And what we do here is, you know, if we have, you know, a recommendation or miss, you know, a trade or a great opportunity, you know, boy, that's a stress that's really hard to deal with. You know, being from the farm, like I said earlier, is, you know, some of these guys are my neighbors, guys I grew up with, family friends. The pressure on myself is big as well. And you might hear the farmer say, well, you know, it's not your actual corn or cattle, why do you care? Well, I absolutely do. This business is about relationships. Being a broker, being a risk manager is all about relationships. And you know, what we're doing is not a day in, day out, you know, scalping a few cents here and there. What we're doing is, you know, longer term, protecting the equity in an operation and helping a guy not get too emotional. And meanwhile, I have to manage myself to not get too emotional, to either dive into a trade or make a bad trade or make a poor decision, because the emotion has kind of pushed me in that direction. So that's where I think you see a little bit of different, you know, perspective as far as what, you know, a speculator and a true hedger is looking at. Is, you know, a speculator misses out on a trade, they either, you know, maybe not a speculator, hopefully not anymore, but, you know, they miss on a trade, they take a loss. Well, a producer, they miss out on a trade, there's potential they won't be farming again next year. And when you look at the commodity, the ag space, you know, over the past couple years, we've, you know, seen a pretty significant decline after the super cycle commodity boom that we've had over the, you know, past 8 to 10 years. And that, you know, that environment is changing and becoming more competitive. And, you know, while, you know, the generations are kind of changing between, you know, who was farming 10 years ago and who might be farming now, you know, if guys don't get on top of managing risk now, there's a heck of a lot more emotion and a heck of a lot more pressure on somebody to be able to be sustainable moving forward. So it for me, you know, I have to be able to manage myself. If I can't manage myself and keep a sound thought process, I will not be able to effectively help producers. And then at the same token, there's times where I have to be, you know, the risk therapist, right? You know, hey, let's make a move here. I know you think corn's going higher. I know you think beans are going higher. But look at the opportunity we have to take advantage of. We need to help a guy make a sound, unbiased, not emotional decision that's going to make sure that they're selling at sustainable prices moving forward. So, you know, emotion's no different in essence in trading no matter where you are. But when it comes down to the ag side, it's a lot more to deal with, a lot more to manage, and then you throw on top of volatile markets, and boy, it's a fun time.
Yeah, I love this. This is so much like the old school way. I remember being in the pit and the phones would be ringing all the time and people would be calling in and asking that broker what they're thinking they should be doing. And you're still doing that to today, which is, you know, it's hard to like almost wrap your brain around that it's still happening. So what I'd like to do is have you take us through, you know, maybe just a recent call or a trade example that you've gone through to where somebody calls in and they're saying, you know, hey, Craig, you know, I've got this, you know, this these crops or whatever it is. It could even be cattle, I guess, too, right? Because you're dealing with the ranchers. And talk to us about how that process works.
Absolutely. So I'll pull up a more recent example over the past 6 months, and I'm going to put it on soybeans because I think it's fairly cut and dry and fairly simple to understand. Is, you know, we saw soybeans, new crop, this year's potential crop, which is still being grown. Prices were hanging in the 1030 to 1020 area. That's in general a pretty reasonable price to be protecting. You know, obviously we always want the highest price possible, but let's live in reality. So guys have potential production that they're looking at making based on what acres they put in and so forth, what they yield, where they're at this year. And what we saw as far as the put option goes, like I said, we deal a lot in options, so we can have basically price insurance below with unlimited upside above to selling the actual physical product. So what we did is at about the 1020 to 1030 area, back in February, we bought the short-dated new crop soybean 980 puts or the $10 puts for roughly 20 to 25 cents. So we had spent 20 to 25 cents per contract to protect 5,000 bushels of expected soybean production, which they didn't even have a seed in the ground yet at that point. So take us moving forward actually until the end of June here. The end of June is when the short-dated July soybean put options and call options expire. Well, the market had broken from that 1020 to 1030 level all the way down to 905. That 980, $10 put, we were able to roll down, and by rolling down, we would sell the $10 put, rebuy a 970 put at efficient levels, trying to pull out about 70 to 80% of the move. So we're talking 21 to 23 cents out of a 30-cent move. So once we're rolling those puts down, pulling that money out, at some point we have to obviously get rid of the position. But, you know, maybe it's luck, maybe it's talent, I don't know. But the market base of the soybean market basically bottomed on expiration of those puts. We're able to collect the excess amount of money to put back in the client's account. Now, once the put option we had spent the money, we had collected profits, you know, roughly anywhere from 40 to 60 cents in profit on the position. The past 2 weeks, we've seen soybeans basically skyrocket. We've had 10 consecutive higher closes in soybeans as of today, maybe looking at 11 by the close here. Now we've got soybeans, new crop soybeans, back up at 1030 to 1040. Okay. We have pulled money out of a downside position on a physical crop that they're still growing. And now at this point, we can look to either A, we're looking at forward contracting some grain, so selling it to the elevator or whoever the end user might be. B, getting right back in this market and protecting today. I'm buying 980 soybean puts for 25 cents to be able to protect, you know, roughly break even or better prices for a majority of guys to put that floor back in place. And then we see where this market goes from here. It's not our job, and one thing we stress a lot is it's not our job to predict where markets go. It's our job to manage the opportunities when they come. Because at the end of the day, if I could predict these markets, why would I be talking to anybody about how to manage risk? I'd be sitting on the beach trading myself and making money all day, right? And we found a lot of success with the options because they're non-marginable. You're buying the put, you're buying the floor. We've seen a lot of success being able to go back to the last topic, help guys manage emotion. And as long as you're managing that position, as long as you understand what this position is for, why we have it, I found guys be very, very successful when it comes to marketing ag products. Guys that have the other side of the trade, and that's, you know, bringing it back. That's why having the other side of the trade really doesn't necessarily make my job extremely difficult. It's the management is what makes it, you know, more challenging.
No, that was awesome. Now, I talked about how the way that it's going on with you is really old school. And you had mentioned to me that times have changed in ags, even a lot over the past decade. So I'm very interested in this because when I hear you speak just about that trade and just the way it is, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, I'm almost thinking of like trading places in some ways, you know, where it's like somebody's calling in, they're hedging a true crop, you know, they're coming in, you guys are going in, you're making, you know, the best decisions you guys can make to hedge it. And like you said, you're not trying to predict the market, you're trying to, you know, manage the risk. And I want to know why you think times have changed so much over just over the past decade.
You know, you look back, you know, the past, let's go back a decade and further back. You know, corn, if corn moved a dime within the year, boy, that was a move. Today, you know, you look at what goes on in these markets, and there's a lot of things have changed. Like you said, the pits, well, they're basically gone. Everything's electronic. You know, grain markets trade, you know, from 7 p.m. at night until 7:45 in the morning. We reopen at 8:30 and trade for another 5 hours. You've got the funds involved in these markets. If we don't move five cents a day in corn, 10 cents a day in beans, that's a pretty quiet day at this point. Similar story in livestock. You know, you've got the large funds involved. You've got a lot more speculation going on. I would say, you know, there's a few things that can maybe make some of the contracts, you know, a little bit more in tune with what actually is happening in the livestock industry today. We won't go there, but at the end of the day, even the cattle industry has changed as far as the quality we produce in beef, you know, better choice, better prime. And the contract is almost a little bit behind the curve on that end. And when you start to have these different factors culminate, you're seeing a lot more speed involved in these markets. You're seeing not only the technology and that physical, you know, the trading environment, but also in agriculture. You know, trend line in corn is, you know, five times what it was 60, 70 years ago. So we're way more efficient as producers, and you know, Mother Nature is still, you know, one of the say-all be-alls, but at the end of the day, you've got seed technology, you've got you know, technology, you know, changing to the global environment, other places picking up in technology. So it's not only gone from changes in America, but also changes globally. And I think that's very difficult, you know, for the older generation to kind of grasp. Fortunately, and maybe it's a blessing in disguise, that I was basically thrown into these markets, you know, at the top of the commodity cycle, the boom, and only thing I know at this point is volatility. You know, there's a lot of conversations around the livestock market, you know, as volatile and as fast as it is, that it's not fair or it's broken. You know, at the end of the day, we're trading a living, breathing animal. Imagine trading humans, how volatile that market would be, especially this day and age. We're trading a living, breathing animal, and we're trading them at much higher prices than we were, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. So some of the swings, while they might look big, it's only a 1% move when you're talking about, you know, a market that, you know, snowstorm can kill a cattle herd, you know, so many different factors involved. So understanding, you know, in my opinion, understanding, you know, kind of the change that's going on and has been going on is another advantage to help guys understand and manage that emotion. As we were talking earlier, that, you know, this game is changing. And guess what? If you're out of business, you can't complain about what's going on in the futures and options agriculture market, right? So you have to stay competitive with that change right now. And I do see it being a challenge for a lot of guys. Fortunately, a lot of guys are also open-minded. You know, you'd be amazed that, you know, the farmer out in the middle of nowhere can be very open-minded to change, as well as, you know, making moves in order to help them to be sustainable. And that's, I mean, you know, shout out to the American farmers, and look what they have to do anymore. They're an engineer, they're a chemist, they're a mechanic, and now they got to be a finance guy. And so they understand change because they've gone through it over, you know, a long period of time ever since they've been farming. But this day and age is totally different than what we saw 10 years ago. And 10 years from now, you know, I expect the changes to continue. So staying up on top of those changes and recognizing those changes is to me, a little bit of an edge, a little bit of a competitive advantage in helping to manage these markets.
Yeah, very well said. Now, I want to talk to you about what trends you're seeing in the ag space right now. So as an S&P and bond trader, I'm going to you and saying, Craig, talk to me. What's happening out there right now? What looks like it has legs to continue? What looks like maybe, hey, it's mispriced here. Like, you can't believe it. This move has happened, and it's come somewhat of a surprise to the industry. What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, I mean, the S&P should be, you know, an easy trend. It's just straight up every other day. Sometimes I wish I was trading that. You know, commodity markets have a job, and the job is to encourage production, ration demand, and the root of the trade is really revolves around that at the end of the day. And there's a lot of things in between, and so, you know, it's important for me to recognize trends and try to recognize, hey, is this a change in trend, or is this just a one-day stupid move because the index funds are rolling cattle, or, you know, Trump tweeted something about Mexico and hogs are limit down, and this is stuff that we're dealing with. But for as far as the trend goes in commodities right now, I think, you know, the macro picture here is we've seen the U.S. dollar in a very high environment for, you know, 2.5-3 years. Currencies, in my opinion, and I'm no currency pro, but currency, in my opinion, they trend. They don't trade per se, right? They trend. And we're seeing the U.S. dollar, you know, down what I think about 8% here since the beginning of the year. And actually, if you look back over the past, you know, presidential campaigns, Republican presidents have seen a weaker dollar, and Democrat presidents have seen a stronger dollar. And I hope there's something behind that, because that should be exciting for ag commodities anyways. But we're starting to see the dollar come back, and I think we're finally, after about 4 years of a lot of weakness, we're finally starting to see, I think, ag crawl out of a little bit of a hole. Now, the world, you know, right now is fairly flush with wheat. We have seen a significant run-up in wheat here recently, so I do question how sustainable the rest of this run can be. The corn market, I think, is up in the air, in my opinion. It's been beat down for so long, I think you're starting to see some value buying there. And if we get any sort of hiccup in U.S. production and global production, all of a sudden stocks could be pretty tight. I think maybe one of the big outliers here is soybeans. Soybean demand globally is just continues to look to the upside. And that's kind of the balance between corn and beans globally, is what are we going to plant this year, right? South America and U.S., it's probably one of the bigger debates you see all year in the grain space. Soybean demand just continues to rock and roll. China is a massive buyer. And if we ever do see some serious weakness in Chinese markets, soybeans might be susceptible to that. But at the end of the day, they've got a lot of mouths to feed, and that's continuing to grow, and their demand for soy continues to do the same. So, you know, the trend right now, in my opinion, U.S. ag, I'm bullish U.S. ag for right now to an extent. Do I think we see the commodity super cycle that we saw not that long ago? That's probably a stretch unless we get some major global event and maybe weakness in equities. U.S. equities might turn some of the managed money back into the commodity fund, which we saw, you know, in 2008 through 2012. And then, you know, when I think about, you know, the bubbles U.S. equities have seen in, you know, the past 20 years, well, maybe commodities could do the same. But I'd say for the most part, it's pretty rare to see major, major super cycles happen within such short amount of times. But if we see the U.S. dollar continue to trend lower, I think at the end of the day, we're finding ourselves becoming much more competitive in America. We produce quality product as far as pork and beef goes, and the world is starting to recognize that they do want quality over price. But at the same time, you know, a lot of places we ship to, they need the product, and they'll be willing to buy it wherever it's at, depending on the price. So China's, you know, China is the big factor when it comes to U.S. commodities, and they continue to be. But for the overall trend, you know, I'm bullish U.S. ag right now. I think within reason, but I think if we keep the dollar heading lower, you know, there's a lot of potential for U.S. ag to come back and find some more of the conversation.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Craig. Now I have some rapid fire questions. So are you ready for those?
Hit me.
All right, everybody. Our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Trade the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now free at tryttnow.com. First question, how has your trading evolved over the years?
I've learned that ultimately commodity markets can do anything. And, you know, when you're young and dumb, you're not quite sure. You think you know it all. And I think probably one of the biggest evolutions I've had here is that you don't know it all. And I need to remember that I don't know it all. And commodities will continue to humble you when you think you know it all.
Can you tell me the moment that trading just clicked for you?
I think it still is. I don't think I have an exact moment. I think it is, and I hope it always is. That's the only way, in my opinion, to stay competitive with evolving markets.
What's the number one resource you spend your time on?
Charts.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Yeah, it's going to be a little cliche, but Reminiscence of a Stock Operator, I think there's a lot of value in reading the tape, and maybe that's just because I sit behind a quote screen all day, but I think there's a timeless lesson to be taught in that book.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
I'm going to go with Twitter, which is neither of those, but I find a lot of entertainment there. I find a lot of good information, and maybe at times you could consider it a movie.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
I'm going to say this actually comes from my dad, and he is not a trader. But I think this bit of advice has played a very important role in helping manage markets, and that would be that patience is a virtue.
Now, if you could give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
Get involved. Get involved and soak up as much as you can. But at the end of the day, I bring it back to, you know, what I think I've learned, and it's the fact that you can't ever, you know, you can't ever complete it. You can't ever complete the mission. It's a constant battle. And getting your feet wet, to me, is the best way to be able to learn it.
Now, if you weren't involved in the ag industry, you'd be doing what?
I'd probably be turning a wrench on motorcycles. That's a lot of fun for me.
Nice. Craig, this was awesome. I really appreciate you coming on Futures Radio Show today. Where can people go to find you on Twitter and talk to us about a website as well?
Yes. First of all, big time thank you. I really enjoyed being on here, and you know, it's an honor to be on with a lot of the guys that you've had on here. A lot of guys I learned from and still would like to learn from. But you can find us online at topthird.com. Our Twitter handle is at topthird. I'd also recommend you take our Twitter with a bit of a grain of salt. I do manage that, but I also like to have a little fun. If you can't laugh at markets, what can you laugh at every now and then? Or you can give us a holler here. Our phone number is 1-877-TT-HEDGE.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, people that take Twitter so seriously, it's like, come on, relax a little bit. It's Twitter. You got to have a little fun with it.
If you can't laugh at markets, you'll go crazy. And for me, it's a fun way to be able to connect with people, have a little bit of fun, and maybe at the same time learn a little something from other people and challenge my own ideas at times too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Craig, thank you again so much for coming on Futures Radio Show, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.